sermon in it's not the last sermon of the Brave series, but I believe it's mine, and then we'll be starting something new coming into the Link Group season next month, or this month, this is September. And at the beginning, I prayed a prayer over us, if anybody remembers it. You know what it was now when I remind you. I prayed a prayer, I termed it dangerous living. The bottom line of it was, Lord, mess up our lives. Anybody remember it? I'm going to pray it again. So you can stand if you want to receive. Or you can stay sitting and everybody will look at you. And they'll call you a wimp. Because this life is supposed to be dangerous in the right way. It's supposed to. God's mess is the most beautiful mess you'll ever have. It's the most amazing life you will ever, or I will ever have. And we need to be brave to walk into it. The disciples of Jesus had to be brave to walk away from their jobs, communities, cities, respectability, education, all types of messes that God brought into their lives. But yet they seen the world turned upside down. Yet they seen heaven on earth. So Father, this is my prayer for us all, me included. Turn us upside down. Tickle us. Offend our minds to reveal our hearts. Take off the yokes. Place in us a message, a call, a knocking down the devil type of confidence. Place in us afresh a call to battle. A call to radical, holy, dangerous lifestyles. Call us into ministry today, Lord. Let us know that living without peace is no longer an option. Living in fear is no longer acceptable. And living with small dreams is not your will, plan, or purpose. Father, place in us a hunger for more. Place in us a hunger for the supernatural. Place in us a hunger to win, a desire to win this world with your love. Fill us up right now with your love, your passion, your desire, your power, your message, your mercy, your joy, your fun, your Lord, launch us out. Let us take off. Father, remove every yoke of doubt, every yoke of fear, every yoke of restriction. I break off every limitation. I say no more imitation so that our hearts may know transformation. No more giving into manipulation. Father, I say send the rain. Deliver us from procrastination. Release us into our destiny. Let us know acceleration, multiplication in the reaching of every nation. Father, are releasing us a fresh power. Are releasing us a blossoming like a flower. As we set our sights on you, Lord, you're our high tower, Jesus. Mess us up, Father, with your beautiful mess. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. I've been reading in everybody know what the life groups are? Not the link groups, the life groups. The life groups is where two or three people get together. It's something that Rob designed for the church. You get together with two other people and you do some agreed reading of the Bible. You, when you're together, you have some questions, some character questions where you can build relationship and friendship and accountability into your life. And also, there's a part in the life group for praying for someone that doesn't know Jesus the way you would know Jesus. And incredible. If you're not in one, I encourage you to get in one. Nobody ever has to feel lonely again in this church. You get into a life group. If you haven't got in one, please come and see me. And there's other people that are looking to be in a life group. And the reading of the scriptures is you agree a set, set of scriptures to read. So over the week you read your scriptures. My life group were reading 1 Peter, and it's amazing that you just get into the word in such a way, and you're discussing it with two other people, and you're finding out what God is showing them in the word, and it's absolutely incredible. And I've been doing that over the last couple of weeks with some guys, and but for my own reading, because that's my discipline. I want to really get into that, and I want to go to the guys and say, "No, I read all my scriptures this week. Can I have a lollipop or something? And can I have a reward?" And But for my own reading, just reading the Gospel of Mark, and I'm amazed afresh what the Lord has shown me out of the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are never, ever dead. The Bible actually says they're living and active. So we should always be getting something out of it. I encourage you to read your word, because you won't go away empty. You will be somehow encouraged by God. And I've been reading Mark. And in chapter 5, it talks about a situation where a man had to be brave. There was no doubting of Jesus' bravery. That's the first sermon we began with. Everything begins with Jesus. In the Word, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And everything that was made by Him and through Him. Everything comes back to Jesus. And so there's no doubt in Jesus' bravery. We all know what He endured with the cross. But there's people in the Bible that we sort of don't talk about them. There's usually the ones that are up front and the ones that we all know about, and like David and Goliath or Peter walking on water. But there's loads of other people in the Bible that we don't necessarily get to talk about. But this is one instance, and I just want to make one point about him today, really. And if you believe that, you believe Anton. But in my reading, I was just so amazed by what God showed me. And again, I will have one paragraph to read, but there's two other paragraphs, two other stories intertwined with this story. And what we get out of today, I want to show you the steps of how to get there in Bray tonight, because we won't have time tonight. And Bray is not recorded, so you won't be able to get it on podcast. But I do encourage you to come out to Bray tonight and see. Well, if this lands on you, you'll want to come out, yeah? So here's the story. You say, what's the story? Here's the story. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his feet, on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to me that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And Jesus spoke to the spirit and said, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs and allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out of the man and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town, in the town and the countryside. And the people went to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he had mercy on you." So the man went away, and he began to tell everybody in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Amen. Bless your word, Lord. Just a few things on the story first. Obviously a man that was tormented. Obviously a man that didn't know his future, didn't know any hope. A man that knew torments. A man that knew so much torment that he had to leave his family. He had to leave his town. And he had to be, he set himself into a secluded place. What an incredible, what an awful place to go and live. In a graveyard. Someone says one time, it's not the dead you need to be afraid of, it's the living. And maybe he was afraid of the living. Maybe he felt more comfortable among dead bones, among tombstones, because of a situation. Can you imagine him coming out every night? I don't know about you, but when I read this story, I hear his torment. There's something that resonates so much in me that when he's coming out screaming and shouting and chains rattling and cutting himself with stones, you can hear all of the frustrations. All of that is the symptoms of what's going on inside of him. I don't know whether he roared out certain words, but I could imagine if he just let a big shout like, ah, all in that, ah, you could hear his pain and his torture. And I don't know about you, and I don't know how you interpret just roars from people. But somehow we do interpret it, don't we? We do interpret that person's in torment. I know the way they move. I know the way they look. I know the way they hold themselves. I know the way they bark. I know the way they lash out at people. They're in torment. And he put himself in such a position that no one was listening to him. Only those who came to subdue him, but they couldn't. But God heard him. God heard his cry. God heard the man's torments. Isn't it amazing to think that God is listening? It's amazing to think that even when we can't communicate with words, that God knows what that means to the heart of a person. And there's in chapter 4, that's chapter 5, in chapter 4, Jesus says to the disciples, we're going over to the other side, get into the boats. Jesus was sitting with the crowd. He had an audience of maybe thousands of people. He had, like, I don't want to leave the thousands to go to the one. But somehow his father told him to go. And how do we know his father told him to go? Because Jesus says, I only do what my father tells me to do. So somehow Jesus, in the midst of all the thousands, hears his dad's whisper. Go over there. I heard the cry of someone that's desperate. Can you imagine the amount of times this man probably cried out to God and there was no Jesus coming to rescue him. But this time, there was Jesus. This time, it was God's perfect time. Sometimes we cry out and we go, God, you answer him. Believe me, he will answer. Hebrews says, don't throw away your confidence. If you're waiting on God and looking for something from God or crying out to God for something, don't throw away your confidence. Because Hebrews says that he who comes will come and will not delay. And when he comes in his timing, you know and I know that that timing is perfect. When he comes in his timing. And Jesus goes over to the other side. You know the storm tries to stop them from getting over. Jesus was so incredible that he just says to the storm, be quiet. Anyway, this water business, just a side thought. I was thinking this morning, how in the world did God ever come up with the idea of creating water? No. Like, I can make a swimming pool, but I already know what water does. But before there was ever water, God came up with that idea. I'm like, Lord, where in the world did you get that one from? He didn't see it somewhere else. He didn't see it on a movie. He didn't read it in a book. He picked water. He picked flowers out of nothing. Such is the majesty and the splendor of his thought patterns that he can create stuff. And we don't stand in awe of it. But if you go and stand at, I was out in Bray a couple of months ago and the sea was raging. And I was standing there just in awe at the power and the might of the sea. And then the thoughts is like, God, you made that. But where did you get the idea? Think about it. How did he come up with a rainbow? I don't know. How did he come up with human beings? But the water couldn't stop him. And Jesus goes over and he speaks to the devil and the devil obeys. And I was trying to find out, just reading between the scriptures, and who initiated. When the Son of Man steps onto that ground from the boat onto dry land, I could imagine a reverberation went out into the spiritual realm that Jesus was here to do business and to pull down and to destroy the works of the devil. Like that somehow, either the man knew this and made an initiation to run to Jesus, or the enemy inside of him, the devil, inside of him went to Jesus and initiated a conversation. I'd like to think it was the man. Because I don't think the devil is that stupid to come into a confrontation with Jesus thinking he was going to win. And I think that's a very brave thing to do. To run to Jesus and to say, I'm living in torment. I'm the answer to what your dad told you on the other side of the lake. I'm the recipient of the power of God. And the enemy took over inside him and started to try to dictate the conversation. You can never allow the devil to dictate the conversation. He'll trick you. He manipulates us. He lies into us. He'll deceive us. But Jesus wouldn't allow him. He said, come out. Come out of him. And I think it's awfully brave of people that come to Jesus and initiate the conversation. And the pig, imagine the pig owner. So it couldn't have been a Jew, or it would have been a very bad Jew that actually owned the pig. So it was a Gentile. Where's the pigs? Anyone see my demon-possessed pigs? Did you ever see a demon-possessed pig? No? Can you imagine the guys that was watching it all, 2,000 pigs running down? Imagine the cost of all that stuff, and all the people ran in and they told. Can you imagine when they came out? And there's the testimony of Jesus in this man's life, sitting there in his right mind, sitting there fully clothed because he was naked. I know I told you this, and every time I read it, I can't help but think, who thought about bringing the clothes for the man? That's genius. Or maybe one of them had 2 tunics, and he seen the man had none, he gave him one. Maybe one of them went and says, look, you can have my sandals, man. I'll get another pair. Just doing the things that they heard Jesus saying and seeing Jesus do. Can you imagine when they came out and seen him? Is that your man? Is that fella that used to be crazy? I could imagine when the kids wouldn't go to bed, they'd say, your man from the tombs is going to get you. I'd imagine, you know, that he was used in that term. You know, we used to have Billy DeWino that lived around their flats. And when I was a kid, they'd say, here's Billy DeWino, and I'd leg it for all my life. Because, you know, I didn't think to look behind me was Billy there, but I didn't care. If I just get to be mash, he'll batter him if he goes near me. That's all was in my mind. And imagine, like, if he was Billy DeWino, you go to bed, here's Billy DeWino. Yeah. I could imagine that everyone knew about this man. I could imagine everyone looked on his family with pity, compassion. Or I can imagine when the kids went to school that they were the ones that got slagged because of the mad dad, a mad brother. So he was well known, and he come out and he's sitting there fully clothed. No change, nobody subduing him. Now he was subdued by love. Now he was subdued by compassion and mercy. Now he was subdued with the life that only comes from Jesus, that can restore a person fully, mind, body, and soul. He had experienced the life of God. Now the life of God was sitting there for all to see. Another testimony, a part of it, they asked Jesus to leave when they seen all this. But I said all that to get to my point. That Jesus is leaving like they asked. Amazing, isn't it? That Jesus didn't force himself on Decapolis. He didn't say, look, I'm God, I go where I want. Jesus is like, you don't want me, that's okay. He says that to churches. He says that to individuals. You don't want me, it's okay. I'm going to get on a boat because someone else wants me. Someone else is going to receive of my glory. Someone else is going to receive of my majesty. He's not going to kick the door in. He shows it. He gets in the boat. He goes, okay. I showed you what I was about. Bring all your demon-possessed. I'll free them like him. Bring all your sick, I'll heal them like I healed the others. They says, no, we want you gone out of here. We're upset about the pigs. Truly, there's more people concerned about holy pigs than there are about people that are in bondage. We'd rather look after the holy pigs and sacred cows than allow Jesus to mess up our routines or our lives. And Jesus said, all right. And as he was going, it says, and as Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him to go with him. Jesus did not let him go but said, go home to your family. Go home to your family. How profound are those words? Go home to your family. True story. Met a taxi man. Sharon introduced him to me. Told me a story about a man I actually know. Man left his home. He was bound with alcohol. Left his home. Ended up living on the streets. He's begging on the streets. Like an older man, not a young man. And someone's going, boy, and he asked him for money or something. And a young American girl, she comes back to him in Dublin, on the boardwalk, I believe it was. And she sat down with a cup of tea and talked to him. And he told her his story. And she says to him, why don't you go home? Why don't you go home? So he did. He went home. And his wife took him in and made a spare room for him. He's now a playwright or something. He was on the Late Late Show. It's amazing what words, life. It's amazing how much life can be in certain words. And Jesus said, go home. Go home and show your family what I've done. Go home and let them see what I've done in you. And all the people were amazed. So the man went home and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. The bravery in moving away from his demonic habitat to going back to the people to tell them what Jesus has done. That's bravery. I'm now going back to those who slagged me. I'm now going back to those who put me out of my town. I'm now going back to those who I've messed up on. I'm now going back to those who put chains on me. And I'm going to tell them what Jesus had done for me. And it says he went back and all of the people were amazed. So between meeting Jesus and going back to Jesus, something happened to this man that's wrapped up in that word amazement. He's seeing the amazement of God in Jesus. And he went back with that same enthusiasm, light in his eye to all of the people. And then they were amazed. Only those who are amazed by Jesus will be those who reveal the amazement of Jesus to people. Only those who are amazed by him are those who release and reveal the amazement of Jesus to other people. I believe that God wants to open our eyes afresh to the amazement and the wonderment of who Jesus is. I believe that our Father wants to show us. Because you know what? You need this probably monthly, don't you? Because church and life can just drain you of you fixing your eyes on all other things, on workplace, on family life, on situations, on circumstances, and we miss the amazement of Jesus. But every time you come back into the presence of Jesus, you catch a hold of the amazement of who he is, of what he can do, and then you know you can face absolutely anything. Jesus says to Peter, who do you say I am? Who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? It's important who you say he is. It's important. If you just put him with any other religious person, that's all you're going to get is a religious person. If you just put him just as a prophet, all you're going to just get him as a prophet of history. Who do you say he is? And Peter looks at him and says, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies to him, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this. And I want to tell you that the Father in heaven wants to show us afresh the amazement of Jesus, of his life, of his death, of the cross, of his resurrection, of his living power, his delivering power, his releasing power, his transformation power. Only those who have been transformed will have a message of transformation to bring to other people. This man, can you imagine the wonderment of being in such torment and finding life that comes from Jesus? And I'm sure we've all found that in some way or other, but isn't it amazing how much it can just drain out of us? That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians again. Father, open their eyes, enlighten their understanding so they may know you better. Because unless we're amazed by Jesus, unless we have stand in amazement of them. Believe me. People know the difference between religious talk and somebody that's in love with somebody. People know the difference of I just go to church. See, you want to believe what you wouldn't believe what Jesus just done this week. And if we haven't got that amazement, well, then we can't transfer that amazement. And the beauty of it is God the Father wants to give us that amazement. That enthusiasm, that when we talk about Jesus, we're not resigning him to someone that's long gone. That we're talking about him. In fact, we're talking about him as he really is, in us, for us, beside us, above us, beneath us, before us, behind us. In everything we do, in everything we say, he's in us. And then when we talk, someone says about Katie Taylor, she actually talks about God as if she knows him. You know why? She does know. And that's what he wants to do. I remember Terry Munley, those who don't know Terry. I don't know, many years ago, 15 years ago, this young man came into the church. And Terry is about my own height, very slightly built. Walked up, someone was bringing him up to introduce him to me. And I knew this lad was dangerous. You know the way you can just pick up things, and he wasn't huge. He was a skinny little guy, and he walked up, and someone introduced himself instant to me. I got talking to him, and I just knew in my head, this man's a dangerous man. So anyway, what I always do with dangerous men, I invite them up to the house, and I brought him up to the flats. I said, I'll really test you whether you're dangerous or not, if you're brave enough to come up to the flats. So he comes up on his motorbike. He was working as a motorbike courier at the time. I found out that he was only back from the French Foreign Legion, trained assassin. You know, he could kill you with his baby finger. One of them guys. And I knew that in him, I could pick that up on that this guy could really, really hurt you if he wanted to. And I didn't know his story. He was part of a biker gang called the Devil's Disciples. And we put him immediately working with the kids in Sunday school after that. That was definitely a joke. But he came up to the house. And the next day, by the way, like, he didn't leave at any time. He was up in the area, and he knew where I was, and he came into the flats. And we were sitting there just about to have dinner. And this guy comes in after being out on the cold day all morning on the bike, and I just had this thought. I didn't touch my dinner. I says, Terry, have that dinner. And he goes, no. I says, look, I didn't touch it. You go ahead and have it, and I'll get something later. So this guy takes off all his letters. He's tattooed all of them down his hands, arms, and I still had that feeling off him. But now he's sitting down eating dinner, crying his eyes out. And I'm like, now I'm getting even more freaked. Who is this weirdo crying? I could handle the madness, but not the crying. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And he says, no one's ever given me anything for nothing in this world ever. And I don't know you, and you're giving me your dinner. He said, what is it? And I just told him about the wonderment of Jesus. Now, they could be just words, or he picked them up that this was more than just words. Later on, he stayed for the Link Group, and he gave his life to Jesus. We sent him out as a missionary to Africa. He lived with us for I don't know how long. Went to Bible college, sent him out as a missionary to Africa. He plants a church in Africa, digs loads of wells. All the missionaries want to dig wells in their safe villages. Terry only dug wells outside the synagogue. He wouldn't do what everyone else is doing because he knew the amazement and the wonderment of Jesus. He comes home, he's living in Cavan. He's a school teacher now up in Clogger Road school. And you walk in, you hear the kids saying, all right, Terry. And Terry is like an all right person, you know, all right, bud. He caught the amazement of God because I caught the amazement of God. And somehow when I was talking to him, that amazement was transferred. And he wanted to know that God. Not some religious God, not some yes or no sort of God, but the God of the Bible, the God that was displayed in Jesus Christ himself. And you know what? When David was going through incredible times, he got into the presence of God. Read David's Psalms. when he was going through hardship, when he was going through when people were hunting him down. You'd read the Psalms and you find him in the Psalms. He's like, Lord, they're after me, they're after me. They're going to kill me. And then somehow in the presence of God, he finds the wonderment of God in it all. And he's like, Lord, this is stuff he goes, break all my enemies' teeth. Smash them up, Lord. You know, that was David's, like, break them down like a threshing, like a threshing floor, Lord. Just like, make them like the dust of the earth. Let the wind come and blow them away so even their descendants would be all gone. He was, like, in bad places. And then somehow, in all of that giving out, because he went into the presence of God, he'd see a glimpse of the amazement of God. And he'd say stuff like, oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. Lord, if I could just stay here. Another time, one of the psalmists, he's giving out. Why does the wicked prosper? How come all of them are getting it all together? And my life seems to be in bits. And he says, I was going into that place and I went into the presence of God. He said, my foot nearly slipped. He says, and I went into the presence of God. And then I knew what it was all about. Why? Because he caught a glimpse of the wonderment of God. Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I find that a weird statement. Do you? Like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know what that means. Nehemiah was building a wall. He was protecting his city. The enemy was coming against him. And he lets out a statement like, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible also says that in his presence there's fullness of joy. So presence equals joy and joy equals strength. So where'd you get the strength out of the joy? Where'd you get the joy? In his presence. That when you go into his presence and you realize and you get a glimpse of who he is again, within all of your circumstances, you get strength for it, but you come out with a joy. What's the joy of it all? That my God can do everything. But when I'm on my own, when I don't want the wonderment of God, I just live naturally. Or just live in a natural way. But when you're in the presence of God and you find out who God is and you get a glimpse of his majesty and his glory, there's a joy that comes into your heart. That sometimes I just want us all. I say, Lord, will you make this happen? That we all just burst out laughing. That something happens in us that we just go, oh, God is amazing. And it just tickles us on the inside. But your life is in bits. But you're laughing. And even beyond laughter, there's a joy that's so deep inside that people see on your face and in your eyes. And things, I met a young girl, a close member of family committed suicide. Devastated in the family. She was in college at the time. She goes back to college and living in the grief of all of this. It was only recent days. Now, college... mate says to her, they were living in the place. What do you call them? Roommates. How come you have such joy? And she went and looked in the mirror like, joy? She wasn't laughing hilariously, but the joy of being in God's presence was deeper. Why? The strength of God was deeper. Why? Because she knew who God was. And I said all that to say this. God wants to show you who he is. If you search for him, he will be found by you. And later on, I'll tell you some of the secrets from the rest of that chapter of how to get into that wonderment. But let's stand. I don't know about you, but when I get glimpses of God's glory or God's nature, you know, you read your Bible and you see Jesus touching a leper. No one else would touch them. No one else would go near them. And you just read and you see Jesus doing it. And you get a glimpse of his character. And a joy comes into your own spirit. Because that's your Jesus. And the same way he was with that person, it's the same way he is with us. And then you see him doing incredible miracles. And the same Jesus that done those miracles is the same Jesus of today. And the same Jesus that is not afraid to go to tombs and graveyards at night. It's the same Jesus that's here right now. And the same Jesus who created the water and the heavens and the earth. It's the same Jesus that's here right now. And I pray that out of even this morning, that each one of us would have a fresh desire and enthusiasm, like that man who went after Jesus. Said, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. I want to be around you. I just want to be in your team. I want to be with one of all them guys. I want to go and find other lepers. I want to go and find other men that have demons and are living in torment. Jesus, can I go with you? I pray that your desire is like, because he wants you to go with him. Jesus doesn't say, no, stay there. Stay in your misery. Stay in your sin. Jesus calls out to us to follow him now. I'll bring you on the journey. I'll give you a hope and a future. So, Father, here we are. And we say, Father, we are living in expectation of getting increased glimpses of your majesty and your power. To get an increased glimpses, Lord, of who you are, of the wonderment of God. I pray, Lord, that as we see in the Bible, Lord, that people would have experiences of Jesus walking into the world. That people would have experiences of seeing heaven opened. That people would have experience of divine visitation, angelic visitation. That, Lord, every circumstance would pale right now into insignificance compared to the majesty of what we'd see in you, Lord. Show us like you showed Ezekiel, O God. The wheels within the wheels. And all the majesty and the splendor of heaven in the wheels and the glory in the wheels, O God, and the mechanics of heaven. And let us see one like the Son of Man rising above it all, O God. Lord, let us have experiences like John had in Revelations, where we hear the Spirit of God calling us up to a higher place, where we see the worship of heaven, where we experience angels singing. Eyes be open. Eyes be open. Father, reveal. Reveal Jesus. Those who need Jesus, reveal him as Savior. Those who are sick in body, would you put your hand on your body that's sick right now, wherever that part is. That those who are sick, be healed. Father, reveal Jesus as the healer in this house today. Every yoke of sickness, be broken. Those who are far away from God, you can come home today. Reveal Jesus the Savior, Father. Reveal Jesus the caller into ministry. Just like he said to the disciples, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Father, those who are weary, bring us into your presence, Lord. In such a way, Lord, that we find true joy that brings your strength. Break the yoke of depression. Break the yoke of oppression. I cast down every lie in the name of Jesus. I break every thought pattern that sets itself up against the purposes of God for your life. I break them. I release you to see. And out of that amazement, that you will be a carrier of that amazement. And just like within Decapolis, a great city, that when you talk, that the people would stand in amazement. Why? Because you've caught the amazement of who God is. Father, we give ourselves to you today. Father, we want to see more, know more, understand more. We want to go further, go deeper, go higher, Lord God. We want to press in, Lord. We want to be people of great faith. We want to be people of great faith. We want to press in, oh God, till we get all that you have for us. Amen. Amen.